I want to greet you all in the name of Jesus. How are you? Well, that's a difficult one. How are you? Thank you. I want to thank God for this opportunity to stand here and share the word. I recognize the fact that I'm standing in Betty's shoes right now. Betty Smart was to preach today, and she's sick. But we have good news. She's getting better. We want to thank God for that. And I want to pray that when my time comes to share the word, that is in the future, Betty will be all healthy to come and stand in my shoes and preach. Praise God. Amen. So, God has called each one of you for a purpose. And we should be glad to be here. I don't understand why and how I came to this country. My country where I was born is Kenya, in East Africa, by the Indian Ocean, and by Lake Victoria. This is a large, fresh lake, and we live by the mountains. But the Lord saw it fit for me to come here. Well, I hear there are mountains on the west, but this Indiana and all these other places are flat. So I don't know how to live here. I'm learning. And they saw it fit that I should come and experience what you experience here. The nature that is here. Ice, snow. You know, when I came a few years ago, I didn't know how to walk on snow. So we were scared with my wife Cecilia and our children. And I was trying to tell Emmanuel and the rest that we need to walk properly. And this is how to walk. Then I fell down myself. I tried to get up quickly. I think they didn't see it well outside our house. And they saw it. So I fell down. And I fell another time. And another day, also, I fell down. So I came to learn that, okay, to walk on snow, you have to take short steps. You don't take the African steps we take in Africa. Relax. Here, you have to learn everything. We're learning a lot. I also learned that there is a way you speak here, the way we don't speak. English is not my first language. English could be the fourth language. If you were put in my shoes and you learn Swahili, which is our language, and then you ask to preach in that language, definitely I will hear you in accent, a more accent than what you are hearing right now. But I want to pray that the Almighty God will enable us to speak in this language, and that you, together, we may fellowship and understand one another for that God has for us to hear today. That's my prayer. So, in other words, I will ask you to listen carefully because I will not pronounce all the words the way you do. One time, Elder Jerry asked me to preach. I just arrived from Kenya. I was new. I came to my house with his wife. I remember, and okay, I told him, no, I don't want to preach. I don't know how to speak. Not that I've not been preaching in Africa. I'm an ordained elder. Put over 5,000, a church of 5,000 people. And I've served there many years. And we have gone out to build, plant more churches. And the Lord used me to plant two churches outside that other big church while in Africa. When I went there earlier this year, I looked at them and I was smiling. Although there are challenges, more and more people are coming in. I left them with a membership of about 250. Now it's over 400 in 5 years, so I was happy. And another church too. I remember while I went to India in Asia to study also there, young, the Lord used us there, and there was no church. And we went through, and God used us mightily. And there's a church also growing in India. And there's a place where it's not easily reached. They call it Maasai in Kenya. These people live with the lions and the elephants, and they know how to go about every day. And the Lord sent us there to start another, to plant a third or a fourth church there. I remember them. That church is called Esoit Naibor. It means the white stone. And whereas in other places, when people are baptized, we baptize in thousands. We baptize 7,000, 4,000, 2,000. We baptized only 17 people. And we were like, oh God, these are very few. When I moved here, and we baptized 2-3 people, and we are, oh, wonderful, 2-3 people. And I said, where, Lord, have you sent me to? 1-2, okay, I have to learn more things. What do you have here? Why is it like so difficult to baptize 7,000 people here today in white clothes coming, even after someone? My mother, who is late, brought me up in this word. And when she was dying, she told me, don't worry about the things of this world. Trust in God, and He will provide for you every time. And then she died. I'm bringing so many things all together. But I want you to know each one of us so that we can share together. Cecilia is my wife. And Abigail is the firstborn. Ruth is the second. And Emmanuel is the smaller young man. Hopefully the last one. The last born. We want to dedicate our lives here in America as we would have done it in Africa. There are many challenges right here in this country. Bigger challenges. The challenges about faith. About our faith in Jesus. It's not easy to live here for those who don't come from outside. I mean, those who belong here, you might be comfortable. But it's a tough life. Africa may be poor, but it is time to fellowship. Time to sit together. Time to share. They say there is no hurry in Africa. Here it is hurry. Since I came here, work, school, home, work, school, home, all this. And then the elder asked me, you want to preach? Okay. I told him, no, I don't want to preach. Number one, I want to learn how to speak. Not that I don't know how to preach. Not that I've not preached before. Not that I didn't have what to preach. I wanted just to learn about you, to be my friends. I didn't know whom I was to preach to. Sometimes it's easy to go and preach to people you don't know. But I wanted to take the harder area to learn about you. And I've learned a lot sitting right there. I don't know too much about you. Don't be scared. But what I've learned is this. You love the Lord. And you want to move forward in this love. So we moved to other churches around. And finally we settled on this one. And all we have seen is love. You are lovely people, the people of God, whom we can share together. So I'm talking to my brothers and sisters. Those who will not worry about so much about my accent, but will rather listen to what God is saying today. And our sermon will be very short. Let's pray. Almighty God, thank you for this time. As we open your word, teach us together and prepare us for the kingdom to come. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. At least you know whom I am. And you know who you are. You are a lovely people who can share God's love. As I grew up, the preachers could preach and they could read in Revelation from the book of Revelation. And there's one area where it says, and there was war in heaven. I said war. Yeah, W-A-R. There was war. Where was the war? In heaven. My sermon will be, we will interact, we will speak with one another. So be prepared to speak. Where was the war? In heaven. Oh, that should ring bells. War where? In heaven? War. Where should be war anyway? Wait, it's not a perfect place. We don't expect war in a holy place. Who was in heaven where there was war? Who was there? Huh? Lucifer was there. I walked down, and I just want to hold this. It's better than the other one here. I just wanted to be free. I will be very close to you because you are my friends. And Lucifer was there. Who else was there? Jesus was there. Christ the Son. Who else? God the Father was there. Who else was there? Angels were there. Who else was there? The Holy Spirit is always forgotten. God is the Holy Spirit. Amen. Who else? All right. And the war was between who and who? Yes. It was between good and bad. Okay. Who else? The war that was in heaven was between who and who? The dragon. And who? Michael and his angels. Who is Michael? Jesus. Okay. Where could there be war in heaven? Speak anything. Although I don't like that there's no right answer, there's no wrong answer. I don't go by that. There's always a right answer, and there's a wrong answer. My professors tell me they speak and say, okay, there's no right or wrong answer. I don't like it. There should be a right answer, there should be a wrong answer, and both are okay to say, but we should always go with the right answer. I want us to talk together. There was war in heaven. There's a problem. If there's war in heaven, there is a problem. Yes. And we don't know how it comes about. But one thing is sure, that there was found sin in a perfect creature. We don't know how this could be. But that's all the record we have. A creature created by the Creator, God, a perfect being, starts war against the Creator. And as one of you mentioned, all the answers, by the way, you gave were right. Those answers were right. This is a serious situation we want to address right now. And that brings the problem we have right now. But we have the good news. Lucifer, that angel who was so much beautiful. You know, he was so beautiful. And the spirit of prophet says he could sing and sing, not like we sing. We need four people at least to make a quartet to sing alto, bass, soprano, and which one? Tenor. He could sing so many good, beautiful sounds. But this pride found in him, and it starts war against God. The good thing that is reported in Revelation is this one. He, the dragon, Lucifer, did not prevail against Michael. And Michael prevailed on this guy, the dragon. And his place could not be found in heaven. So it comes to our first parents. Creation is done. And God, the spirit of prophecy says, God talked to our first parents, Adam and Eve, about the situation of the war that happened in heaven. And he prepared them and told them this danger. Adam and Eve were not just caught unawares. They were prepared. But they go down. And therefore, there's a problem of sin coming into the world that also was created perfect. Adam and Eve created perfect. Everything looked good. Everything was good. Until when the serpent comes to them and challenges them. Who was Adam carrying? In Adam was the whole human race. And that's the connection why in Romans chapter 6:23, which we will read together. Please, let's turn to the book of Romans chapter 3. Verse 23. Who has found it to read for me? The Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Another version. Whoever has another, yes?
Oh, you could say, for all have sinned, all fall short
Wow. Which one do you have a blight in, right there? Okay. Now, Romans 6, 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." But Romans 3, 23 also says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." All. So I don't know all. Who will you put in that word all in English, you know? Since I said I don't know English, all. When it says all, it means how many?
Everybody.
Is it? Everybody, brother. Everybody, right? Who is everybody? I will go a little deeper. We are talking. Who is everybody? All of us in here? Even with our children? Even this young one? All of them have sinned? No exception. Ah, this is an angel, right? This is an angel? Is this one an angel? I think so. She looks an angel. Is she in that bracket of all have sinned? How? How? How could even the small ones be in that bracket? All have sinned. Because of who? Adam, the first parent. Was this young one in the loins of Adam when he sinned? Were the young ones who were born also right there? Were they there? Were they in Adam? Yes, the Bible says yes. Who is the first Adam? Adam who was created by God. Adam who fell also of this, and became short of the glory of God. All of us were in Adam. So, if all of us were in him, what about the sins which people sin every now and then? They only add up to the point. But all people have come short of the glory of God. Whether they are small babies, this should be clear in the Seventh Day Adventist Church. Should be clear to everybody who is seated here that all have come short of the glory of God. And we must accept it so that we can find what is God's solution. So when we come short of the glory of God, what happens? Number one, there's death, physical death, beyond the spiritual death. Physical separation is quite bitter. What else? When you become short of the glory of God, what happens? There is lawlessness. Because in heaven, one thing that is in heaven is perfect order. And the whole world wants to order things. And it takes energy and the power to order things. It's difficult to order things when they are in disarray, when they are not in order, when we lose order. So the governments that are in place try to bring order through the laws they set. Does it happen? It's difficult. There was perfect order in heaven until Lucifer turned to be the dragon. There was order in the Garden of Eden until the serpent came in. And there's no order right now. But things are not doom. It's not doom. What Adam's sin did to us, it brought something beyond the physical death. It brought complete separation from God, calling him our Father. We could not, because of sin, it was blocked. But God is good. And the songs that you have sung here are perfect together along with this sermon here. That God provides a solution to the sin problem. Can we say amen? Yeah, I don't want to force it. But it's good to learn that there's good news. That God, who is love, comes right away to Adam and Eve and tells them, hey, don't worry. There is the Lion of Judah. Don't worry. All you need to do, remove those suits you are putting on like these ones. Remove them. I'm providing a better suit for you. And this is the good news. And this is why we are here. We are not the people who are left to die and be condemned and say, okay, we are done. God has done what we will say. He has done a deed. I want you to be careful, to be economical with the words I'm using. He has done a deed. His doing is marvelous. His doing calls all the people. Will it call everybody? Yes. How many have fallen of the glory of God? All. How many have been called? All. And that's good news. When we come, then it is his work again to change us. The Bible says, don't change yourself. It says, come. He's inviting everybody. Come. Come as you are. In Isaiah 60, verse 1 down, it says, come. Come. Oh, come. Come. Don't use money. Just come. No money. Come as you are. Don't change yourself. You know, if you change yourself, then you are doing another thing, a different one. You are finding your own way of salvation. The invitation is come as you are. And when we are right here, what is he doing? He's right in each one of us, working that beautiful works that will save you, that will save me, that will save everybody. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You work to be paid, so you get your wages.
You work
to be paid. You don't just get paid. You have to work. So people look for employment. They work. They look forward to the time they will be paid, their wages. This life is a bad one, where you are paid the wages. The wages of sin in this respect. And what the Bible says in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. That's not good news. The good news is downwards. The gift of God. This time you are not working. Okay. You are not working. If you get a gift, sometimes the teacher of Emmanuel, who has been Emmanuel's teacher, you might have received a gift. That's different from your wages. What is a gift? Since I don't know English, what is a gift?
It's free.
Okay, you don't work for it. It could be surprising, right? Maybe you're not prepared for a gift. What's right for you is what you work for. The wages. What's not yours is a gift that you are given because you didn't work for it. So should we just go home and say, okay, everything is a gift. Okay, I don't have to work my salvation with trembling. Should we work our salvation with trembling? Yes. But is that work the work of saving ourselves? No. When you work your salvation with trembling, you are not working to save yourself. You are aligning yourself with the working of God, what He's doing to save you. So, one person is against the gospel. His name is Saul. He's on his way to Damascus to go and kill and maim the Christians, and God meets him. And he's taken to Arabian desert, where, if you read Galatians chapter 1 all the way, you will find that story I'm talking about. He is led to the desert to be taught about this gospel, to learn about the gospel of God. And now in Romans chapter 1, which I want us to read together, please, verse 16 and 17, when he's writing to the Romans, he says, I'm not ashamed. This is what he says. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Okay, let us look at those words. He's not ashamed. Why will he say all those? He's not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He goes further to say this. For it is the power of God to salvation. That's the only way. There's no any other way. And it said that this sentence or this statement I want to make, people are not going to get lost because of Adam and Eve and the way they sinned. People are going to get lost because they're not responding to the solution that God has provided in His Son, Jesus Christ. It continues to say, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Who is going to live? The just. How shall they live? By what? By faith. Faith in who? In Jesus. This is all we are called to do. You know what? In Romans 3, Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. He believed in God's promises. He believed in God's word. He believes that God is working his salvation. And he took it into himself and he accepted it and moved on by faith. There are things we need to do. Moving on by faith. In spite of the circumstances that are around us, what they show, you know, sometimes it may show you that here you are dying. Hey, brother, sister, here, things are bad. How will you move on? The circumstances, what do we see physically, tells you is done. We need something stronger to move on. And this is a thin line of what has been happening since Adam all the way. God's people, those who have always remained faithful all along, have survived the circumstances that are difficult. Even in this country. Now, I'm 5 years old in this country, and I've learned a lot of things. We need brothers and sisters of faith who will move on by faith. Otherwise, it is difficult to survive in this country. Because there's a lot of information, wrong information. Wrong laws are passed that they don't support what we believe in. If we are not grounded in the faith of Jesus, we will not go along. We will get lost on the way. So it's upon you and me to take time to study the Word of God and move on by faith. Faith that is a gift also from God. And as little as it is, it can germinate and grow and grow and grow until it's a mountain. Big. And that's what I see. As I finish, what we want to learn here is that God has a solution, sets us free from condemnation. As you will read in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, there is no longer, there's no condemnation for those who are in who? Christ Jesus. You know what Adam and Eve did when they listened to the voice of the devil? That condemned them. That condemned us. That condemned everybody to death, eternal death, total separation from God. So the good news, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. I won't have time to continue, but take one thing. Christ is working and has worked already your salvation and is going to work. What am I saying? Christ, in his justification, we have been justified freely. But there is a work going on in each one of us. That is sanctification. And there is a work to come in the future. The glorification of this body and everything. When we shall not die. When we shall not grow old. When we shall meet each one of us. Those who have slept. And those who will be surviving then. Who have survived by faith. The faith of Jesus. This together, all of us, we shall say, yes, Lord Jesus, here we stand with you because of what you have done in your Son. Thank you, Lord Jesus. If you got nothing out of this, just remember one thing, that God has invited you to his home of glory in heaven, and there's no more condemnation as long as you are in Christ Jesus. Just get that only. May God bless the reading of his word.